I'm about to say good stuff. No, I'm about to say good stuff. This is good stuff. Like Rav Chaim of Brest, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he was invited to be the Rosh Hashiva of Lashon. And he said, I'll do it under one condition. I heard this from the Kashrus Rebbe, actually. He said, I'll do it under one condition. I don't give shir, like, on a schedule, like Monday, 12 o'clock, Wednesday, 12 o'clock, this and that. I give shir when I have what to say. And if I don't have what to say, I'm not giving shir. And if I have what to say at 12 a.m., you're waking everybody up in the dorms, shir at 12. Like, that's how it works. My shir might be an hour, it might be 3 minutes, it might be 20 minutes. It's however much detail I feel the need to give over that feels right, whatever I'm possessed, that's when I'll share Torah. Otherwise, I won't. So the Baal Tanya says, you have to like live with the Parsha. I've said this before, like, you know, every single Parsha has some like detail that you could glean out from it and relate it to your life. So every single week, we do have something to share. Like every single week, like there is a moment that we have what to share. And it's very neat because Chodesh Cheshvan always falls out around Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach falls around Chodesh Cheshvan. And this is very important because a lot of the commentators use the story of Noach and use the instructions of the Teva and the whole flood as a paradigm for how to approach the month of Cheshvan. Because Cheshvan is a very hard month. You know, it's very outside, like, you know, the leaves start falling off, the foliage gets dark, it's a cold month. And that external reality represents an internal reality. What's going on outside is also going on inside. It's a very cold, hard month. And Cheshvan is very much a month of introspection. Like Rav Shamshon Erfel Hirsch says that Cheshvan, so you have Chet and Shin, Chash. What does Chash mean?
Suspect.
Yes.
Or fear.
Yes, you're correct. For
feel.
Both of those. Oh, feel. Yes, fear. This is a month of like very much feeling. Because Chodesh Tishrei, we got distracted. Why? You had all the chagim. You had a lot of halachas, a lot of mitzvahs, and very important, but it's very easy to lose sight of our internal reality. Meaning there's a lot of this external commotion, it kind of distracted us from our own internal beings. Yeah, okay, you're concentrating on mitzvahs, lulav, to your best of your ability and whatever, but like, you really do lose focus. It's very easy to kind of distract ourselves. So this is a month of like, really getting in touch with ourselves, like really, really feeling. Yeah, so anybody, you're a Scorpio? You're not a Scorpio. Are you a Scorpio? When's your birthday? I forget.
May?
May? Oh, you're in Aries, right?
Taurus.
What?
Taurus.
What Hebrew month are you born in?
No.
ER, you're a Taurus. Nissan, you're an Aries.
Yeah.
Because we go by the Hebrew months.
Yeah.
So, yes, Scorpios are known. This is the month. Like, Cheshvan, Scorpio, like, they're very introspective people. But there's a Gemara in Brachas that says, let's say you're davening Shmona Esrei, and the snake surrounds you. Do you stop davening?
And what surrounds you?
A snake surrounds you. Do you stop davening? No. What if a scorpion surrounds you? Scorpion. You stop davening. What's the difference that a snake surrounds you, you keep davening, a scorpion surrounds you, you have no permission to... Sorry, you must stop, right? Like, what's the difference between a snake and a scorpion? Any botanists? Pantheologists? Yes, you're correct. The Rambam says, scorpion, like, you're going to get bit. So you have to stop davening. You have to move out of the way. So the idea is that, like, this is a month where, like, because we're doing all this introspection, when you're doing introspection, you can kind of, like, get very in your head and get very upset with yourself and do drastic, impulsive things because, like, you're just not in a good zone. So when a snake surrounds you in a regular month, if you're ruminating, okay, whatever, just keep doing your thing. This is a month where, like, if you're in your head, get out of your head. Meaning, if you're stuck in your apartment for 2 days straight because it's cold outside, get out of your apartment. Go to Equinox, go take a walk in the cold, you know, do something. Like, you gotta switch up because this is like a hard, Cheshvan is a hard month. It's a very cold month. This is the beginning month. Rabbi Nachman says, kol es kashas, that every single beginning is hard. This is the month where you really gotta, like, you're not in a good zone, you move on. You just stop, you know, you can't focus, that scorpion surrounds you, dip. That's Scorpio. You know, that's the Scorpio energy. But you gotta push forward, get out. So the Ishbitz, people have heard of the Ishbitz Hasidim? The rat, like, you heard of the teleporter, Rebbe? Teleporter comes from Ishbitz. So they were radical in the Hasidic world. Radical not in a bad way, just their thought was crazy. First of all, they started wearing Techeles. The third rabbi in the Rebbe moved to Italy for a little, studied at Sorbonne, found coddlefish, said it's the Techeles, put it on his stitches. It ended up not being correct, but whatever. But he was a massive scientist and Talmud Chacham. They're also radical because they didn't believe in free will, really. They said free will doesn't exist. So Rabbi Nachman's answer was, okay, free will does, like, just live, like, they ask him, like, do you believe in free will? Like, what's the deal with it? And he's like, Like, just like live your life, like do your thing. Like, it doesn't matter.
And whether it does or doesn't, it shouldn't affect our perception.
No, that it doesn't affect your like you literally just like he's like do your thing and you have free will, functionally speaking. Whatever, but like, Ishmael didn't believe in free will. So I heard this funny story from Shlomo Zach, Zalman Shach Shalemi actually. He said that there was when Ishbitz started coming out with Sfarim, you know, back in the day in the 1800s, it was hard to have Sfarim, you know, like to like own Sfarim. It was rare, it was expensive, whatever. So there was one shtiebel where they had one set of Ishbitz Sfarim, like the Meshuloch, the Beis Yaakov, etc. And every night they noticed that the sefer is missing. They come back the next day, the sefer is back. Yeah, but like for the whole night, the sefer is missing. And people got fed up. You can't take Sfarim out of the library. A lot of Sephardi-based medrashes have on the sign, Hagonev sefer, you steal a sefer, lo yeda sefer. You won't know the book. Meaning keep the book in the library and you're cursed if you take it out. So they decided, we're going to hide behind the bookshelf and figure out who's stealing the sefer. So they hide behind the bookshelf one night. And then they see the guy stealing the sefer. They jump out. They start punching him, kicking him, attacking him, pushing him. And then the guy says, hold up. Like, you can't beat me up. It's not me that stole the sefer. I don't have free will. Like, I couldn't help myself but steal it. Like, it's not up to me. But whatever. So they didn't believe in free will. But what they do is, for the story of Noach, the Ishbitz Hasidim take the instructions given for the Teva and show each instruction represents a different mita that you have to work on. It's very neat. So we're going to do this as Ishbitz, and then we're going to do my own idea. So first, there are instructions on the Teva to make your sukkah of wood, of gopher, to make it with kinim, to make it with compartments, and to pitch it, like pitch with gawk. I don't know the English, like gawk. Like you bleach it white. Like, you know, if you have like a wall, like sheetrock, yeah, you gotta seal it white, and then you'll paint over it so that it's all like a consistent color, right? So they take these three things, and they say, there's a Gemara in Pesachim, and the Gemara in Pesachim says that Hashem loves three types of people, anthropomorphically speaking. Hashem loves three types of people. Somebody that doesn't get angry, somebody that doesn't get drunk, and somebody that doesn't hold a grudge. Hashem loves those three types of people. So they say, you're telling me that the sukkah, that Noach is told, make your sukkah of wood. So wood represents somebody that doesn't get angry. Why? Because you're building walls, you're building boundaries. The instruction for the table was build wood as like, you know, borders, boundaries. So somebody that like doesn't get angry is somebody that like doesn't allow toxicity out, doesn't allow toxicity in. He has like control over himself and he doesn't like react inappropriately to a scenario. Maybe he responds, but he doesn't react. That's the word. Then you have compartments. Kinim ties to the table. Build compartments in the table. That is similar to somebody that doesn't get drunk. Why? Somebody that gets drunk doesn't have cognitive faculty. He's cognitively impaired. He can't think lucidly. And what Hashem loves is somebody that thinks lucidly. Somebody that, like, you have control over your thoughts. That's lucidly, yeah. Somebody that has control over their thoughts. They can compartmentalize. They can box it in. Meaning, if I'm in a bad mood now, I can box it in. Like, right now, I'm in a bad mood. Okay, but I'm about to learn Torah. I'm about to daven. I can say, okay, I understand I'm out of a mood, but for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to concentrate on my tefillah. And, you know, again, like, I'm a big procrastinator. You procrastinate? Yeah. You procrastinate, yeah. Any other? Yeah, I procrastinate. Procrastinate your negative thoughts. I'm not getting rid of it. I can't get rid of my negative thoughts. I'm stuck with them, but I'll think about it later today. That's a later, you know, problem. But for the next 20 minutes, I can compartmentalize. That's what Hashem loves. When I say, like, I have the ability right now, I have an hour to focus on my learning, I have an hour to focus on my wife, I have an hour to focus on whatever I'm doing right now, I'm compartmentalizing. This is not the time to start having anxiety, you know, assuming this is not like some psychological, pathological, you know, whatever. This is not the time. Compartmentalize. Then you have the final instruction, which is to pitch it. The language is chufarta oso, the chufarta oso, that you can pitch it mibayis machlitz, on the inside and out. And that represents somebody that doesn't hold a grudge. Why? Because this is somebody that is, you know, you're bleaching, you're painting it white. Kofar is from the language of bleach, white. So you are whitening, like, the sins. That's what David HaMelech says in Dillon. He says, michato albin. Please, like, bleach my sins, meaning my sins are viewed as like these dark blemishes. Bleach it, just paint it over, meaning I'm not getting rid of it. I'm just painting over it. I'm getting over it. I'm moving past it on the inside and the outside. I'm not holding a grudge on the inside because it's not good for me, and not on the outside because it's not good for the other person. I'm able to, like, move on in life, bleach things, and move forward. Also, because
it's the Gemara that says this, or the Ishbitz?
The Gemara says that Hashem loves three types of people, and Ishbitz says how those three types of people are represented in the Teva with the pitch and the compartment. Yeah, 1 second. And with the what? Yeah.
Why do we learn that these are
we only have a requirement of 6 shemesh,
almost meaning that they come at the, they could come at the exclusion of others, or if we are, if we excel in one of three categories, we're fine, good. Like, as opposed to say, the Gemara is saying, Hashem loves a type of person who does these three.
So first of all, Hashem loves the Rasha. Like we have Sukkim, I can't remember that, but like, Hashem loves the brokenhearted, Hashem loves the despised.
Segmented in this way.
Right.
Instead of being one person who has these three traits, it's these three types of
people. Oh, that's your question. Like, meaning, why is it like a list of three types?
Three distinct types
of people.
Instead of every person should strive to have these three traits. And if you have those three traits,
I should look into it. I'm going to be honest, the only answer I have for now, because I don't know, the only answer I have for now is just my thought that this is the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. It's just like a Gemara writing stuff out, and like it's not that deep, but I could like look at the Rishonim on it and see if they comment on it. But otherwise, I just think it's like the Gemara like just says Hashem loves, you know, Gemara says like a lot of stuff, like, you know, Hashem loves this, Hashem loves that. It's just like, you know, cute ideas. Are you looking it up or? But let me know. Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel, I'm a base. I believe I'm a base, yeah. But yeah, it's a good point, yeah. I don't have like a mamish, yeah. I think it's just like Gemara, you know, Gemara has like a lot of words. You know, it's not like the Torah where like every single word in the Torah, like dip, like that's the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Aleph, says Dibra Torah Kalashim Bnei Adam, that the Torah was written in the human vernacular, meaning like every single word was there for a reason, and you have to like find the meaning of it. Like there's something behind it because it was written for human beings, and if it was written for human beings, then there's nothing extra. Hashem had every single word being didactic. It's for us to understand. Like, I don't think that the Gemara is necessarily like that. Yeah, it doesn't have like that same didactic value of every single word. Like, you have two words in a pasuk. No, that's for they have a let's say like this is a question like a lot of people can say Bnei Aaron, then it says Kohanim. We know all children of Aaron are Kohanim. We know all Kohanim are children of Aaron. Why does it say Bnei Aaron and Bnei Kohanim? So we learn out from that that because there's a difference. Like Bnei Aaron is like inherited Kedusha. Kohanim is like the Kedusha that you execute. Like a hen means to serve. So it shows that like these are like every Jew, like you have like your inherited Kohos and your inherited holiness, but then you have the holiness and the talents that you have to potentiate, you have to exert it, you have to effectuate it. Exactly, there you go. So the Torah like is precise on every single word. Bnei Aaron and Kohanim seemingly tautological. No, not tautological. There's something behind it. But like Gemara, I don't know if it's the same. I don't know. But but we'll look into it. Okay, so that was Ishmael. Now I have my own idea, which is that one of the instructions for the Teva is Sohar Taisei LaTeva. We ever talk about this? Sohar Taisei LaTeva. Build light in the ark. And the Medrash says, how did Noach build light in the ark? It's a debate. One opinion says, Chalon, he built windows in the ark. This way light could shine through. And the other opinion says, Margolis, he had a shiny diamond sitting in the ark. And this diamond like illuminated a lot of light throughout the walls of the ark, throughout the whole ark. Okay. The second opinion that says that Noah had this shiny diamond says, yeah, Noah also had windows, but that wasn't enough, so he had the shiny diamond. There are two types of people. You have people that are externally illuminated through that window. When it's light outside, they're in a good mood. But when it's dark outside, they're no longer good. They're so externally influenced. And then you have a margolis. You have a shiny diamond. Internal illumination. It doesn't matter what the weather is outside. Yeah, there's windows. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's light, if it's dark. Makes no difference at all. They are internally illuminated. That's the instructions Noach was given. Yeah, you could have your window, but also have that internal illumination. Have that margolis. Have that evental. Have that shiny diamond. No matter where you are, you can be yourself. You could be in the worst, crummiest of environments, like Yosef Atzadik, but you are still so internally illuminated. You are that margolis. Doesn't matter. So yesh omer chalon, yesh omer margolis. But in the end of the day, Noach was instructed that you should have a margolis, that you should have your own internal compass, that no matter what, you are unaffected by anything from the outside world. That's the idea. So Cheshvan's a very make it or break it month, in the sense that in Tishrei, it's not like hard to be from. It's all laid out for you. It's all there. You know, you had the Chagim, you had Shul built into it. Like, it's hard to not be from. Like, I just, like, my schedule wasn't conducive toward, like, not being, like, there was just too much stuff to do. So it's not so impressive. I mean, it's good, great. It's a holy month, Tishrei, but Cheshvan, you really have the opportunity. Like, there's no Chagim. There's nothing going on. This is like the make it or break it. Like, this is all like internal. This is all margolis. It's all internally influenced. Like, if you're down for like Yadis and like Avodas Hashem and Tefillah and Torah this month, there's no medium. You have no chagim, you know, as your back. Like you have to, like, this is all coming from you. Like, this is like the real test. Like, if it's really coming from you, if you really believe in it, if you really value it, like, this is your month of margolis.
It's also like a sad month. Like, it can feel like a sad month because there's less attachment to like Hashem. It's like, there's less occasion, there's less celebration. You know?
There's less external occasion, but internally, like, this is it. And the idea is, the Gemara says that Mashiach's coming in Cheshvan. Cheshvan eventually, there's no holidays now, it's going to have a holiday one day. What's it going to be?
Pack your bags.
Yeah. Mashiach's coming in Cheshvan. The Beis HaMikdash was built in Cheshvan. Noach also entered the Ark in Cheshvan. But yeah, the Beis HaMikdash was built in Cheshvan. Like, this is
the... Should I pack my bags tonight?
Where doesn't it say that the
Beis
HaMikdash was built in Cheshvan?
How much time do you have?
Was finished in
Kashmir,
but they didn't use
it
till
Tishrei. Oh, we got time. I'm out of this, but I got other stuff in my head that I want to debrief.
So we're packing our bags tonight.
Yeah, I'll put you in it.
We have a group chat or an iMessage.
I mean, the iMessage when you started.
Okay, we have more stuff on the month. So
we could start like a community group chat.
Yeah, we got to start something. Yeah. So listen, so Kashmir. It's called Mar Cheshvan. You've heard this? It's called Mar Cheshvan. Why? Why is it called Mar Cheshvan?
Because it's Mar.
It's Mar. It's better. It's cute. Yeah. It's cute. It's made up, but it's cute. You know, if it works, it works. That's not really like the... So what Mai said, the Gemara Neshama says this. And it comes up that all of the names of the... In the Torah, you don't have Cheshvan, Tishrei, Nisan. You have Chodesh HaShvi'i. You have the 8th month, the 9th month. It doesn't say the name, the monikers. So where do we get that from? From Bavel. Alumi Bavel. Meaning, Mar Cheshvan comes from Marachshvan. It's some Akkadian word. Or let's say, you know, Nisan comes from Nisamnu. It's some Akkadian word. Av comes from Abu. Some Akkadian word. These are not like, you know, the months themselves are not Hebrew words. They're Akkadian words, and we've adapted them. So Rav Hirsch Shech does a piece on this. Like, hold up. How could we have, like, we have an idea. Zos HaTorah Losei Muchlepes. This is the Torah. You can't change it. How come we call Tishrei Tishrei? It should be called Chodesh HaShvi or whatever. Tishrei is an Akkadian word. It's a Goyish word. So what's... Okay, so the idea is it's just the moniker. It's just the name that we use. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, no, because we take it. Goyish things and we elevate it. Okay, so it used to be like a profane, mundane word. We made it holy. Whatever. Either way, Mar Cheshvan really just comes from Marachshvan, which means like it's just some Akkadian god or something. I don't even know. But what was I saying? Oh,
you shall remember. Cheshvan.
Oh, that's just, yeah, just to know that. Yeah, Cheshvan, it's Marachshvan. Yeah. But, oh, no, Margolis? No, I didn't, no. But anyways, okay, that was just one thing I wanted to get off the bat. Okay, one more thing, also, because there are no holidays in this month. So I was thinking about this. So, oh yeah, this is why I want to say this. So in the Torah, this is why I want to say this. In the Torah, you know, again, it says the first month, the seventh month, the eighth month. Cheshvan is the eighth month. Eighth is like a very holy number in Judaism. Eight is like the supernatural. So it's interesting that Cheshvan, which is viewed as this Mar month, this bitter month, or this month of no holiday, so it seems very mundane. Why is it number eight? Eight's like holy. You'd think like it would be a very holy. So like, what's up with that? Is that not a good kasha? It was bugging me. I'll tell you what I think it is. We learn it through two insights by Rabbi Nachman. One is about the idea that Rabbi Nachman says that like the highest level of being a tzaddik, and the Baal Shem Tov says too, the highest level of being a tzaddik is being a relatable tzaddik. Meaning, the Baal Shem Tov says you have tzaddikim elyonim, you have high tzaddikim so high up that like you don't even know who they are. Like they're just like way above us. They're like, they're not relatable. Then you have tzaddikim tachtonim. Who's more important? The lower ones. Why? Because like we learn from them. The Elyonim, like, they're stuck in caves, like, doing things on their own. Like, we don't have to do with them. Like, I saw this video in She World News, I don't really remember. So, like, this guy that, like, he hadn't seen his son in 10 years because he was too busy learning, and then it was his wedding, so he said hi to him, but he covers his face. Like, that's not anybody who said this. But, like, that, okay, like, I'm sure you're a tzaddik, but, like, you're not the highest level. Why? Because, like, you're not, like, relating to us. Like, nobody even knows about you. You're not sharing Torah with the world, and the whole Torah is meant to be shared. The Horos, the teach. That's different Torah, Lashon Eidam. The Torah is written in the human vernacular, meaning it's meant for us to understand, and it's meant for us to teach one another. It's not meant for you to just hog for yourself. That's like the Kohen and Bnei Aaron. Like you inherit Kedusha, you inherit talents. L'chaim, be the Kohen, share it. So the Baal Shem Tov, you're not going to say that like the real tzaddik is the tzaddik that like he's able to lower himself down to the human being and he's able to share Torah. Like we're not going to use the language of prostic. What does prostic mean? It means one of the boys. It literally means one of the boys. That the tzaddik, Rabbi Nachman says, should be mitzamtzem. He should lower himself to become one of the boys. And Rabbi Nachman says, he says this in the story. He says, but first, the tzaddik pees. He says the tzaddik pees. He poops. He eats. He wastes time. He goes on walks. He does everything any other person does. And what makes him so great is that he's just like us, but he's so holy. If he wasn't just like us and he was just holy, that's not so impressive. Because he's just born on another level. He's one of the tzaddikim that's just like so beyond us. That's like why the Baal HaTanya, when he wrote this, the Tanya, which is called the Sefer Benonim, the book of the intermediate people, first he wrote the Sefer Tzaddikim, the book of the righteous. He burned that, then he wrote the Sefer HaBenonim, the average person. Because the tzaddikim, like, they're not like, I don't know, they were born that way. Like, that's how they are. Like, great, they're holy, like, amazing, but, like, they're not, like, it's not really so impressive when you're born a certain way and you act that way and that's how you are your whole life.
That's the same argument.
The Malachim wanted the Torah, and then Hashem said, Moshe went up to Shemayim to get the Torah. This is what the Gemara in Shabbos says. Moshe went up to Shemayim to get the Torah, and then the Malachim said, what is a son of man doing here? And then Hashem says to Moshe, like, defend yourself. And Moshe, in his very, you know, humble nature, he said, I don't want to defend myself. Very classy Moshe. I don't want to, like, argue. Hashem, like, pushes him a little bit. Moshe says, fine. So he says to Malcolm, like, have you ever stolen? Do you get jealous of your friend's wife? Like, do you have struggles in Emunah? It's Gemara and Shabbos.
Why is it?
I think 8th paragraph. Esther Yaakov. It's a Gara. If you remind me, I can text you it. So the Malachim say, no. And Moshe says, like, you're not shaykh for the Torah. Like, the Torah is meant for human beings. So that's why, like, there's a verse in Tehillim that's very neat in Parak Chet. It says, the Malachim say, ma enosh kisis kerenu. What is a human being that you should recall him? Ma enosh kisis kerenu. Vein adam, what is the son of man kisif gedenu? That you should pay any attention to him. Right, and then later it says, like, then it says, Hashem Adoninu Ma'adishim Bechalart. Hashem, our master, how great are you that your name is upon all the land? Meaning, Hashem's greatness is Bekom Makom Sha'ata Motse Gidulaso, that every single place that you find his greatness, Sha'ata Motse Anvisonuso. There you also find his humility and the fact that he was able to still, despite all his greatness, Ki Erash Shemecha Ma'isias Peyasecha, that's what David Mam says. Like, I see your skies, the finger work, or your handiwork, Yareach v'chochav masher konantu. I see the stars and the moon that you created, this beautiful, intricate nature, and then you also make man. That's, like, amazing that you give us time of the day when, like, you're so great, you have better things to deal with. Okay, they're with the Malachim, they're impressive, they're not as impressive as us, that, like, really struggle with stuff and find a way to overcome. That's why, like, the Baal HaTanya liked the Sefer HaBenoni. Because, like, that's much more impressive. A Benoni is somebody that he struggles, but every single time he overcomes a struggle. Tzaddik is somebody that doesn't struggle. Then you have that's the Tzaddik of Tovo, always good. Tzaddik Varel is somebody that, like, has a little bit of bad, but, like, it's barely there, so it's as if it's not there. Then you have Rashas, but then you have a Benoni. Benoni, he struggles every single time he overcomes it. It says, like, Zeh v'zeh shoftan. The Yetzer Hara, Zeh v'zeh, and the Yetzer Ra, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, equally ruling over the person, but every single time, the Yetzer Tov wins. So that's what it is. That's what the Benoni is, and that's what's much more impressive. So, and that's part of Rabbi Nachman. He says, what is it about the Tzaddik that makes him so impressive? He's just like us, and he's a Tzaddik. Rabbi Nachman has another Torah that I know we've learned about Eretz Yisrael, where he says Eretz Yisrael, it's no different than any other land. It is the same thing as France. It's the same thing as Prussia. It is no different than America, Egypt. Literally, it's the same exact dirt. And Rabbi Nachman says people bring dirt from Eretz Yisrael and they bring it to Chutz La'aretz as like a symbol. He's like, Rabbi Nachman says, he's like, that's dumb. Like, it's literally just dirt. It's no different than the dirt of Russia or of Warsaw or of England. So who cares? And Rabbi Nachman says some people, they're like so excited to go to Eretz Yisrael. They get there and they're like, it's not. And Rav says, why? Because, like, it's literally the same thing as every other land of the world. And he says, and that's what makes it so special, that Eretz Yisrael is on this earth. It's not Gan Eden. It's not in the Shemayim. And even though it's on this earth, even though it has all the same physical properties as any other country in the world, it still attains this extra inherent property of Kedusha. And that's what makes it so special. That's what makes the Tzaddik special, that he's just like us, but he's special. And that's what makes Eretz Yisrael special, that it's no different than America. But for some reason, because it's physical, and it has this extra spiritual element to it. That's what makes it special. Same thing with Chodesh Cheshvan. Cheshvan has no holidays to it. And what makes it so special, that it's just like any other month. It's just like any other day in the year, where there's nothing going on. And there's nothing going on, and it's holy. It's the eighth month. Eight is that which transcends. Seven is fullness, that's completion. 7 days of the week. Why do we have bris on the eighth day? Because, like, eighth is, like, transcends the complete. You know, it's above completeness. There's complete, and then there's above it. It's eight. That's this month. It is so mundane, so regular, and that's what makes it so holy. So let's find like that holiness inherent like in each day of this month, because there's nothing in this month, and that's what makes this month so holy. That's what makes it so great. And it's like the Lubavitcher Rebbe on like the names of the Hebrew month, Cheshvan, Iyar, they're coming from Akkadian words. It's Goyish. Doesn't matter. We make it holy. We make it holy, and that's good enough.
And how does it relate to Noah?
I'm just sharing the Cheshvan Torah. But how does it look Noach? Oh, so the whole point was that the commentators take Noach as a paradigm for how to approach the month of Cheshvan, where Cheshvan is this crazy radical month, and it feels like a mabul, it feels like a flood. This is what the commentators say, it's a mamish flood, and Noach enters the Teva, and we enter our own inner chambers. There's a Gemara, a Medrash Rabba that says, "In ba'in alav adam yisurin," if a person is experiencing pain, lech lechadr chadarm shel Torah, enter the inner chambers of the Torah. The Hino Senesh Lo Eitzah Eich Lehinatzel Lehinagin, and the Torah will provide for you insight on how to get out of whatever circumstance you find yourself in, on how to like defend yourself, on how to save yourself. So the idea is that we enter this Teva, and through the instructions given to Noah for the Ark, we see how each instruction represents like a different like avoda that we have to work on, particularly in this month, because this is the month of Scorpio energy, of the Akrav, of introspection. So that's how it relates to this month. And it's neat because Noach always falls out Cheshvan.
Like that's so how this is like the tools for getting through Cheshvan.
The tools for getting through Cheshvan you could find in the instructions of the Teva. So I told you the one for the wood, for the compartments, for the kofir,
for the plaster,
and for the light. Look through the Torah, find your own. It's all there. It's all there. Rabbi Nachman has to find this, but it's all in the Torah.
Beautiful.
And it's like, you know, you don't need Malcolm Gladwell. Like the Torah, like hafachba da kulava, like flip through the Torah because all is contained within the Torah. All psychological insight, like you could find within the Torah. So this is a crazy month, but like, we could pull through big. This is it. This is the make or break it. I'm excited.
Wow, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back. In style.
How to get through Cheshvan in style.
And how to build a table. Like, where does it go?
But I think that was good. I think that was good stuff anyways. I'm happy to stay on for any questions. If not, your class dismissed. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Very